Hello, welcome to Spotlight, the summer of art in the approaching autumn.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, the Isle of Man has a new bard. We'll hear more and, of course, enjoy a first poem. The accidental author Rob Cowley back with another writing competition, and we hear about Arts Council workshops for the creative industries and some wonderful Knox happenings. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in planning, hoping to create or would really like to, yes, you know, put in the spotlight. Poetry, very appropriate this week. Theatre, music, literature, ceramics, sculpture, drag, film, visual arts, social media, yeah, you know the list. Get in touch. Email spotlight@manxradio.com or Howard Kane with an E at manxradio.com. Love to hear from you. I'll get back in touch if I can. I always do, as far as I know. If I don't, come and tell me off. And we'll see if we can get you on air to talk about your project or whatever arty joy you're doing. So the bard has gone. Long live the bard. The 11th Manx Bard, inaugurated at the weekend down in the wonderfully bucolic setting of Moorhouse Farm in Colby. Bradley Chambers succeeds Jordan Kenyuk in the role. The role itself, aiming to foster an appreciation of poetry and promote the Isle of Man and Manx language and culture via events, initiatives, and, of course, poetry. Well, shortly after the inauguration, Bradley spoke to our very own bardic hubby, Philly Gorn, husband of Anne, once a bard, always a bard, of course, who asked Bradley how he felt on being crowned as the new bard of the island.
Completely overwhelmed is what I would say. Totally unexpected. Didn't think that this would happen, or that my poetry was good enough, and to have people tell me that it's good enough for me to serve a year as Manx Bard is quite special.
And is this something that you're new to? I mean, have you written poetry a lot in the past, or is this a fairly new venture?
No, I've written poetry for most of my adult life, and even going back into being a teenager, really. It's something that's helped me a great deal, helped me through some challenging times in my life, but it's always been a hobby. That's what it's been. It's something that I do to pass the time, something for enjoyment, and something just to kind of take my mind off things. So that's what it's been to me.
And what plans have you got for this year as Manx Bard? How are you going to promote poetry across the island?
I think that's a very difficult question to answer, because the Manx Bard will need to respond to requests as they come in, and events as they arise. So I think I'll have to be very flexible in my approach in terms of what I do with my time. But more than anything else, I want to get out there, meet people, be a voice to interpret stories and to promote arts and particularly poetry on the Isle of Man.
And inevitably, because this is the Isle of Man, people will be saying, "Wow, Bradley Chambers, who's that then?"
I sometimes ask that question too. So I am from Yorkshire originally. I'm not a Manx man, which makes this particularly surprising. But nonetheless, I've lived here now for 2 years. This is my home. The Isle of Man has given me a great deal, and I think this is a chance for me to give something back.
And in terms of your poetry, what are the things that inspire you? What are the particular topics that you like to write about?
I think inspiration can come from anywhere. Inspiration is an unexpected thing. So I might see something that I want to write about. There might be an event or a particular conversation, perhaps. So that's really what happens for me for poetry. I think my poetry is very interpretive of what is actually going on around me. But more than anything else, I have a commitment to doing something about injustice and inequality. That's what motivates me in my career. So I think that will be a recurring theme throughout my poetry throughout the year as Manx Bard.
And in terms of poetry, what do you think a poet needs to do by way of communicating with the audience that they have?
I think a poet needs to be open to voices and experiences. More than anything, a poet needs to be a listener rather than a talker, and needs to find a way of not only hearing and listening, but being able to actually say something back as well about people's experiences. So I see poetry as being very much interpreting people's experiences and being able to say something about them as well.
Do you think people generally these days, do you think people get poetry? Do you think they understand it?
Well, I think the people here today certainly do. So undoubtedly, poetry means different things to different people. I think the problem is the way poetry has sometimes been taught historically in schools has been done in a way that rather puts people off poetry and sometimes for life. Now, that's definitely changing. And I think educators now teach poetry in a very different and more dynamic way, which really gets people interested. So I think that's why we see so many more young people writing poetry and having an interest in poetry than I used to see when I was younger, certainly.
And certainly most people listen to poetry on pretty much every day, really, but by way of the music that they listen to. Songs effectively are poetry, but with a bit of music set to them.
Oh, they certainly are, and I'm a huge fan of someone who I regard as the greatest contemporary poet, and that's Bob Dylan, and I think all his songs are poems. But not only him, there are other people. I think John Hiatt as well, Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, Mary Chapin Carpenter. There's lots of singers and songwriters that I listen to, and that really helps me write poetry.
Favourite Bob Dylan song? Can you have a favourite Bob Dylan song?
No, there are far too many. I think from the old days, I think it would be The Times They Are A-Changing. But if you want to listen to something much newer, then Key West off his latest album is definitely my favourite Bob Dylan song at the moment.
And we're here at the moment. You've just had your official robing in the Bard ceremony. What's the plans now? Is it go home and sit in a darkened room, or?
Yeah, I think I really need a beer, to be honest with you. It has been a shock. I didn't expect to get this far. I didn't expect to get shortlisted, and I certainly didn't expect to win. So it's going to take me a bit of time to absorb this and for this really to sink in.
And of course, we had the added tension of the Bardic staff being missing just at the crucial moment, so we then had to have an extra 5 minutes, just as you thought we were about to have that tension relieved in terms of the announcement, a further 5 minutes. It must have been quite nerve-wracking.
Not at all, because we had such beautiful music, and it was an absolute privilege to listen to that today. So yeah, I was certainly on edge, but that helped take my mind off it.
And you were quite emotional when you got to the stage.
Yeah, I'm quite an emotional guy, I guess. I try not to be, but I am. It was completely unexpected, so I guess that's why. It's starting to sink in a little bit now. I'll try and be less emotional going forward, but maybe emotion's what we need in the world sometimes.
We'll chat more to Bradley in a couple of weeks when he's popping into the Spotlight studio. Look forward to meeting him. In the meantime, here's a poem which Bradley himself will introduce.
This is called Able in Body. Able in body, less so in mind. The carers, they come, they're generally kind. And the man from the village comes to see me sometimes, and we drink cups of tea as the time passes by. Now where are my glasses? I had them just then, when I wrote down that number. And where is the pen? It's hard to make sense of the days of the week, when each day seems the same, and there's no one to speak to. But I shouldn't complain or moan without cause, when there's worse off than me, stuck inside, stuck indoors. I still make my way, once a week, to the shop. They say, you should slow down, June. If I did that, I'd stop. My daughter drops by, now and then, when she can. But she's busy with work, and she's got a new man. He's younger than her, though that's none of mine. She asks how I'm doing. I say, I'm doing fine. We start reminiscing of times that have passed, long since gone, and things have gone missing, and I know I'm not right, and something's gone wrong. It's these tablets he gave me, they're making me dizzy, try to focus my mind to keep myself busy, but there's not much to do when you're all day alone. I can't face my food. I've lost nearly 2 stone. I know what will happen, but I'll try to resist. If they try to take me, I'll show them my fist. 'Cause I'm able in body, though less so in mind. And I don't like this new one, and I think you will find I had £23 in that jar over there, the empty one there on the shelf by the stairs. But if I say anything, they'll say the reverse. She's getting forgetful, it'll be in a purse. Well, it's not there now, is it? And I'm feeling worse. I keep the door locked and stay safely inside. Ignoring the knocking, I'm not losing my mind. I still know what's what. I'll stay safe inside. I'm not losing my mind. I won't let them win. I stay safe inside. No, you're not coming in. I'm not losing my mind.
Wonderfully poignant poem for starters, isn't it? I'm sure we can all relate to that one way and another. Of course, we look forward to hearing more from Bradley and more of his great poetry over the year ahead.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
The accidental author, as we've called them in these parts for some time, namely Rob Cowley, never a man to sit still. We first spoke to Rob, who described himself as a dyslexic maths teacher, several years ago, 4 or 5, I lose track, when he came up to tell us how making up some bedtime stories for his grandchildren had led to him writing and publishing the stories, with all proceeds going to charity. Inspired by the success of the first book, he wrote another, and then another, and then another, each themed with a different colour and different message. The one book became several, and the Manx Bedtime Stories Project was born. Then last year, Rob extended this idea to encourage young children to put pencil to paper, or more likely finger to keypad, in the Manx Bedtime Stories Creative Writing Competition, with the winners seeing their work published in a reprint of some of Rob's books. Now he's back in 2025 with round 2 of this competition. And of course, hot on the heels of that, probably looking at 2026, I think, what else but another book in his Bedtime Stories series. Rob called by the Spotlight Studios to tell me more.
I felt last year as though I didn't really know what I was doing. It was a nice idea. I had to reprint the books anyway. So I tried to do this competition, not knowing whether it would appeal to 6 to 13-year-olds to write rather than play on their computers. And I was amazed I got 68 entries, of which there was such a high quality. It was a shame so few got published into my books.
So what's going to happen this year?
Well, I'm doing it slightly differently this year because of the success last time. And I want more of our young Manx authors' ideas to be seen and heard. So I'm going to make a book of the 20 best stories. And it's going to be called The Big Book of Magical Manx Tales. And the other thing that happened last year was there were some amazing illustrations as part of those stories that never got seen. So this year I'm going to also give 5 prizes for the 5 best illustrations, and I'm going to use those as a sort of chapter headings, if you like, to separate out the different stories from the different areas that we're talking about.
And it's lovely, as you say, I think there's this perhaps feeling that youngsters these days are always just wrapped up in their phones or their video games or their iPads or whatever the case may be, and maybe don't have the desire to not quite put pen to paper but come up with these stories, use their imagination in the same way. This would seem to suggest that maybe the tech has changed a bit, but the imagination and the creativity is all still there.
I would fully agree with you, and I had a lot of emails from parents saying how delighted they were to see their children writing. And there was one lovely one from a parent who said that their daughter had started the competition because of the prize money, but got lost in the story, and at the end of it, it was just about writing her story and illustrating it and get it sent in. And I think that, again, came across with a lot of entries, that they just liked writing.
And then we're going to have the same idea again, then, of having sort of themes.
I do like to link it to my own project.
Yes,
which
yes.
Which has always got a message in it that I think is a powerful message, just at that 10 minutes before they go to sleep, a bedtime story. If you can drop a little sort of nugget of thought in there about kindness, about friendship, those are sort of things I think make a good bedtime story. So this time it's very much about those same things of kindness, friendship, courage, respect, but with a couple of extras. One is, sounds strange, but saving our planet. which is actually going to link directly because my next book out, Orange, is all about a Manx basking shark called Cedric, and it's all about plastic in the water and how we can improve the oceans. And then I just wanted to give an open category for if you're just passionate about something, write 500 words, illustrate it and send it in, because I don't want to limit some of the ideas either. So I'm just trying to keep it open, find the best 20 stories. I had two lovely friends who were judges last time and they had real trouble in actually narrowing it down to six. So we shall see how we go this time.
And it's as simple as that, is it then? So someone thinking, yeah, I want to have a crack at this, and why not get the imagination flowing? They just need to do a story of round about that 500 words. Does it have to have the illustration, or is that an option?
Yeah, I do like four pictures, 500 words. And anyone who's looked at the stories that are in my books already, that they don't have to be wonderful illustrations. They just have to be their own thoughts of how their mind sees their story. I think that's fascinating. When you see their pictures, it helps you into their story even more. So four illustrations, 500 words. There's no hard and fast rules. I'm a very relaxed person when it comes to these things. I've even had one story in already because someone saw a poster and has entered without seeing that it's from September to October. But I don't mind that either. So we're just going to get the best we can.
And I tell you what, a sign of the times. I would like to think this would not happen in this particular competition, but I see there's a little subline saying no AI stories are going to be accepted. And I suppose, yeah, it's very easy now. Someone, if they can't be bothered to sit down and just think of a nice storyline, to say, write me a story about whatever. Yeah.
Yes, I think we just have to be aware of that. I think probably there were one or two last time, and I've been educated by my son as to how to filter those out, because you've got easy tools now on the computer just to identify something that has been manufactured rather than handwritten. So yes, there is that caveat. The vast majority of those who entered did it beautifully, and many were handwritten, and I had to type them out to get them into the books. So another job for me.
What's the dateline for this?
It starts on the 1st of September, so in a couple of weeks' time. And it runs all the way through. It's basically the first half term of the school. So it's from the 1st of September till half term, about the 24th of October. All schools will have a poster sent to them. They already have, but there'll be another one at the beginning of term. There'll be posters out in the bookshops, in the libraries. So anyone who really wants to get in touch with me about it can do on manxman57@live.com. or go onto the Facebook page of Robert G. Cowley, children's author, and I'll get straight in touch with you.
Perfect. And the is there a cut-off date?
Just half term. Half term. October half term is when I'll get the judges together and whatever we've had in, hopefully 68 or more again, and we'll narrow it down to the best 20, and then I've got the whole process of getting it published, which is the next task. I'm hoping to get it ready for Christmas.
Oh, gosh. So that's quite a tight time scale, then, isn't it? Yeah. And also, you mentioned there that last time you had one or two handwritten, and if someone actually was genuinely wants to put pen or pencil to paper, they can do that and post it to you.
Yes. So on the poster is my address at 3 Turbury Avenue in Onchan. And it's, even some were just pushed through the letterbox, which was even nicer.
You mentioned Orange there as well. I don't suppose when you first started, I remember when we first had a chat, it was almost a case of, oh, well, you've been encouraged to do this after doing some bedtime stories, and it was a bit of a sort of one-off, and here we are, I don't know how many years later, but something which just seems to keep on growing.
Well, you and Christy nicknamed me the accidental author with my first book, which was called No Entry, about my grandsons being dragged into their computer game and finding their way out. And it was by chance that I wrote that book. But the Orange is my eighth now, which is mind-blowing for a dyslexic math teacher, I can tell you that. But it's become something I really enjoy doing, and I've raised £12,000 for charity. And that's where it really works. It's non-profit. It's really nice that children get a nice bedtime story with a moral in it. Charities get some nice money. And two young artists have had experience of illustrating books, which they wouldn't have got. They started age 13. Carmen and Greya are wonderful artists. So it's given them an opportunity that they wouldn't have had before. So there's no downside other than, you know, I bore people with my stories.
So the competition's up and running, as we heard, and then Orange, is that sort of almost ready to go? Were you working on it now? Where are
it's,
that one?
It's with my proofreaders at the moment. My sister in particular is brutal, and she sorts out all my spelling problems. And but it's probably going to happen after this book. So after Christmas, I'll get serious with getting that one out and published, because I was thinking of stopping, but my granddaughter said I needed an orange for all the colours of the rainbow song.
Quite
so
right.
She didn't give me any option but to write one. And then I had this idea of a Manx basking shark and the trouble we have with the plastic in the water these days and how that might be resolved. There's actual science in this one.
Oh, liking it.
Real science at work.
There you go. So your maths didn't go to waste after.
No, it didn't.
Well, listen, sounds great as ever. You come back at half term, give us an update.
I would love to do that. Thank you very much. And thanks to the Manx public. They've been so supportive over the last few years and they've really raised the money for the charities. It's been lovely to see.
He never rests. It's been a wonderful project, encouraging children to read and then write, learn valuable life lessons along the way, making thousands of pounds for charity and keeping Rob out of mischief all at the same time. Who knows where it may head next? We'll catch up with Rob later in the year to see how this year's competition has gone. Well, we were catching up with the wonderful folk at the Arts Council last week to see what's been happening in recent weeks. Always plenty to talk about there. Last week we heard about this year's Alban Arts Council lecture with the wonderful Paloma Faith. But I also asked Arts Development Officer Martin Kane about some other happenings which I'd spotted on their calendar. There's been some workshops, I think, on the sort of creative industries happening as well.
Yeah. So these are kind of relatively new. We do try and do the third Thursday of every month at Noah Market Hall, where we're really looking on, as well as the Creative Industries Fund, we're looking at sort of skill, sort of knowledge gaps in the creative industries. And so generally people have their art form down, they know what they're doing there, but things like copyright and intellectual property and, you know, who owns your design or your piece of music, even just things like, you know, day-to-day like marketing skills, like how to get the best out of Facebook, let's say. So we found that there were some gaps there, so we've started putting on these workshops. They're going really well so far. There are four left this year. Then, as I say, we are aiming for every kind of third Thursday of the month down at Noah. But all the information for those are on our website, iomarts.com. We have one coming up about event logistics. So if you're thinking about putting on maybe a bit of a larger scale event that involves something outdoors, we'll have people talk about things like licenses, about how to do road closures and, you know, the kind of really technical sort of side of those things. And then we have two panel discussions that we will do as well, that's sort of talking to creative businesses over here, how they got started, how to kind of keep a creative business going on the island as well, because it can be quite tough. Between sort of technology and us being an island anyway, it can be quite difficult. So there will be really insightful nights.
Are they free to attend?
Yep, all free to attend. You just have to book your place. And as I say, they're all through our website as well.
The wonderful Knox exhibition opened earlier this year. I think it is the best ever single collection Knox put together at the Manx Museum. So many different parties involved in this and lots of spin-offs going through the year, so there are still sort of walks and specialist walks around Douglas and some of the cemeteries, Braddon and Douglas, linking in with Knox's life and history.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been fantastic. Fantastic exhibition that Arts Council have been involved in through their Extraordinary Events Fund, which has been created for the Council's 60th birthday. The exhibition is absolutely wonderful, and it's on for quite a little while yet, so there's plenty of chance to go and see it, but it's been great having that exhibition in as part of these extraordinary events. What we found is people have had these really great ideas that they've just been a little unsure about whether they could afford to put them on or who might turn up to it. This kind of events fund that we put together sort of caters for this try something new, Try something that's quite, well, extraordinary on the island, which is why we have such this large-scale Knox exhibition. But it's been really good so far. I don't know if you saw the moon that was at Peel Cathedral.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was an that was an extraordinary event. We have had Shirley Ballas came over to do the Strictly Manx sort of talks and workshops with them. And there's a couple coming up really soon, actually. So MADFA are putting on a Midsummer Night's Dream in the grounds of Government House, which will be really special. And I know that you're a jazz fan, so we also have the Portico Quartet.
Yeah, absolutely.
That are, coming
down
over
at the King's Court, are they?
Down at King's Court, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and that's a real... that's kind of a real special one. And, you know, for those who aren't aware of Portico, they are an electronic jazz band. They usually play places probably 10 times at least the size of King's Court, and they're not playing any other gigs this year. So this is their only live performance, and it's in a very, very intimate venue. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. That'll be fantastic. Then there's two more after that that are still to come. They're still to be announced, though. But what I can sort of promise with those is that they're both a format that haven't been done here before. One is in the comedy arena, and the other one, which I think you might enjoy, is a live shadow cast. That's obviously if you have a sort of film or a TV series, and there'll be a screening of it, but then there'll be actors walking around acting out the scenes as you're watching them, so it makes it really immersive. So we're very excited about that happening.
It has to be said, if you're a budding creative or budding event organiser, then these workshops sound like manna from heaven. That's about it for now, though. We'll be back next week when we'll be hearing about this year's Litfest, among other joys. See you then. Be good. And in the meantime, whatever you're doing, be creative about it. Emo.